Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Cirino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, a recap of a fantastic Sunday of NFL football for the Pittsburgh Steelers, even in their bye week. And the Steelers didn't have to play this weekend, and yet they now sit atop the AFC North all alone at 3-2-1 after the Ravens lost, the Bengals lost, the Browns lost. We'll talk about that today as the Steelers now sit alone atop the AFC North going into big games against the Browns and Ravens. We'll also talk today about the potential return of Le'Veon Bell. It sounds like that holdout may be coming to an end this week. Hopefully it's coming to an end this week. Reportedly, he will be in either Monday, today, as you're listening to this. I'm recording this late Sunday night, but hopefully as you're listening to this podcast, he is already returning to the Steeler facility. If not, it'll be on Wednesday this week, or maybe not. We'll play a report from Adam Schefter on NFL Countdown on Sunday. Also, James Conner went on Get Up earlier this week and talked about Le'Veon as well, so we'll play that clip for you guys today as well. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Cirino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter, at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, hit the like button, or join the Facebook group. And you can also find us on Instagram now, at Locked On Steelers. And let's start today with some news and notes. Vontaze Burfict, the inside linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals, was fined $112,000, but not suspended for the two dirty hits he had against the Steelers last Sunday. One of them kind of threw Connor to the ground after the play. The other one was a kind of forearm to the head of AB on a crossing route. That one was probably the dirtiest of the two hits. That one was so similar to the one that he had against AB back in 2015 that knocked AB out of that football game and, again, would knock AB out of the next game against the Denver Broncos. Burfict was suspended for that hit 3 years ago, not suspended for these hits, although Burfict was informed via a letter, and this according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and Ian Rapoport of NFL Network. Burfict informed via a letter that the next time he is involved in an action like this, This will go from a fine to a suspension. So the NFL saying, you know, if you do this again, we're suspending you. And the reason for that, and again, this is according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, the reason they did that is because the NFL was worried that if they suspended Burfict for these hits, that he would just appeal it and then it would get overturned. And so they felt like the better course of action was fine him, plus give him a letter saying, look, you know, warning him that if you do this again, you're getting suspended. And again, this is Burfict we're talking about. If you go back and watch the video that was going through Twitter, that was going around Twitter last week, of all of it, basically a montage of all of the dirty hits Burfict has had throughout his career. I mean, you know, Burfict will be involved in something like this again in the future. It is just the player that he is. So the suspension is very likely in the future. Am I happy with the idea that they didn't suspend him for this one? No. I mean, again, when we talk about the NFL talks about player safety, they're fining TJ Watt for just brushing the leg of Matt Ryan. You know, what Burfict is doing out there, and again, it is the volume of this over time that I think the NFL should have no problem suspending Burfict for these hits, because again, it is an accumulation type thing for Burfict. It just happens so often for him. And again, in a league that is trying to emphasize, you know, the player safety. And again, you can't hit a quarterback low and you can't hit a quarterback high and you can't, you know, you can't put your body weight on him and you can't lower your head to initiate contact. You can't hit a defenseless receiver. You can't do all these things that are, again, within the play itself. To have a guy like Burfict who's out there trying to hurt people after the play, again, you have to come down hardest on that. And that's where I think the NFL, look, I get it, right? Because they don't want the suspension to be overturned. They want this punishment to stick. So fine plus suspension. I get where their head's at with this one. I'm still frustrated by it nonetheless, because again, a fine does nothing for Burfict. Again, you need to suspend this guy. You need to get him out of the league, to be quite honest. Because again, this is the accumulation of this over time. It's not gotten any better. Burfict is not any better a player today than he was 2 years ago when he was, again, knocking AB out of that football game. Here we are 2 years later, 3 years later, and he's doing the same thing. So again, Burfict. Burfict is who he is. If you're gonna come down on him, you got to come down with suspension. The fine's gonna do nothing. But again, we'll see what happens in the future with Burfict. I would expect that he'll have another play like this, and at that point, suspension should be the answer. Hugh Jackson, the Cleveland Browns coach, is on the hot seat. That, according to, I think, like, every media member in Cleveland, or every beat reporter for the Browns tweeting something along the lines of, boy, I'm hearing reports from the front office in Cleveland. They are not happy with Hugh Jackson right now. He may not last much longer. You know, again, you're getting a lot of reports like that. Hugh Jackson and the Browns, again, they're 2-3-1. You know, two wins is more than they've had in the last two seasons combined. So, they're, you know, again, they're doing better. But again, you talk about the accumulation of talent and the way that they're losing these football games, losing in overtime to the Buccaneers in that way, losing on a 59-yard field goal. Again, Hugh Jackson, he's just not in as the coach, right? I mean, this has just been, it was shocking to, I think, a lot of us that the Browns even elected to keep Hugh Jackson going into the season. Now it sounds like Hugh Jackson very much on the hot seat. And what's interesting about that is you could have coach Todd Haley, head coach Todd Haley, going up against Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers this upcoming Sunday. If it's going to happen, it would have to happen very soon. It'd have to happen as you're listening to this podcast. Hugh Jackson would have already had to have been fired so that Haley can take over, kind of do his thing. The other funny thing about this one is that Hugh Jackson said in his post-game press conference that, you know, the offense is not where it needs to be right now. And he said offense is my specialty and I need to take over there a little bit and be more involved. And I think as a head coach, I have every right to jump in with my specialty and all of that. And again, he brought in Todd Haley in the offseason to run the offense. And yeah, the good thing for Hugh is that Haley is known as a guy who's very easy to get along with and a guy who can, you know, you can easily work with him. And I'm sure Haley's not going to have any problem with Hugh coming in to the offensive room there and kind of changing things around and, you know, telling Haley how it's going to be and all of that. Oh, no, wait. Haley's known as an asshole and has been his entire career. And that's a large reason why he's no longer the offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So good luck with that, Hugh. Good luck with taking over the offense from Todd Haley. I'm sure that won't be a power struggle whatsoever. Again, it may not come to that, as the reports are out of Cleveland that Hugh Jackson may be on his last legs there. The Browns have 3 weeks until the bye week, and I think that's most realistically when you'll see Hugh Jackson fired. They have the Browns this week, then the Falcons, and the Chiefs, then their bye week. And they're probably going to go 0-3 during that, and that's likely when you'll see the end of Hugh Jackson. But could be interesting. Could be interesting to watch head coach Todd Haley against head coach Mike Tomlin on Sunday. Before we continue, I want to let you guys know about MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with. And that's why this season, MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. I use them every week for my three-team teaser. This week, because I've been losing my three-team teasers every week, my brother said to me, Tony, why don't you use your powers for good? You lose your three-team teaser every week. Bet on some teams who we need it to go the other way. And so this week, my three-team teaser was the Patriots, Ravens, Bengals. You're welcome. I use my powers for good this week. They have in-game live betting, the over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. You join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. And if you wait until after 7 p.m., they'll give you an additional $25 of free play if you use the promo code LOCKEDON25. That's in addition to matching your deposit dollar for dollar. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you get that additional $25 of free play by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. And then finally, here in news and notes, let's talk about Le'Veon Bell. I know we talk about this all the time, feels like every single day, but hopefully it's over now. Hopefully, as you're listening to this, Le'Veon Bell has already reported to the Steeler facility, signed his franchise tag, in the meetings, all of that. And we can kind of put the drama of will he show up, won't he show up, behind us. And again, hopefully the Steelers take him in well. And again, none of that. Even if there is drama, keep it internal with Le'Veon. You know, again, kind of let Le'Veon know how they feel internally, not necessarily through the media. And again, this can all come to an end, hopefully. Although Adam Schefter of ESPN had an interesting report about Le'Veon and whether or not he's going to show up this week. Here's what Adam Schefter had to say on Sunday Countdown.
But while we're still waiting on Le'Veon Bell, and Jeremy Fowler has reported that he's expected to return this week to play next Sunday against Cleveland, but the Steelers still have not heard from Le'Veon Bell. And there are people around the league who believe that he is waiting until after the trade deadline on October 30th to report to Pittsburgh because he doesn't want to come in, sign that franchise tender, and risk being traded when he doesn't want to be traded. Now, again, this is all up to Le'Veon Bell. We'll see what he decides. Jeremy Fowler said that he'll be in this week. We'll see.
Is the threat of the Steelers trading Le'Veon Bell actually keeping him away from the Steeler facility. It's an interesting report there from Adam Schefter that Connor, or excuse me, that Le'Veon will wait until next Monday to report, until after that trade deadline to report, and then come back and try to play with the Steelers. It's an interesting one because, again, in my mind, why does Le'Veon care if he's traded or not? I get that he says he wants to be a Steeler and be a Steeler long-term, and he still envisions the Steelers signing him to this long-term deal in the offseason and all of that. And that's still his hope. But, I mean, Le'Veon, I got news for you, bro. You're not signing with the Steelers next offseason, regardless if you want to or not at this point. Regardless of if you want to take the Steelers offer that they offered you back in July. Because unless the Steelers are completely stupid, there's no way they're even offering you that contract again. Have you seen what James Conner's done the last 2 weeks? Now, again, I'm not going to sit here and say that 2 weeks of James Conner equals Le'Veon Bell. But if Conner continues playing around there for the rest of the season, and again, every week that Le'Veon stays away means more opportunity for Conner to play that well. If James Conner can keep this up for the rest of the season and maintain close to that level of play, sorry, Le'Veon, you're not going to be a Steeler past week 17 or past whatever playoff game is the last one the Steelers play this year. Yeah, we can argue about Conner versus Bell quality-wise as a running back, but you can't argue the relative value of the player versus the contract, because the $14.5 million that we're paying, or we should be paying Le'Veon Bell this season, and would be paying Le'Veon Bell next year given the contract that he wants, and the $844,000 that James Conner is due next season as his cap hit, again, $14.5 million versus $850,000. Again, $850,000, which is James Conner's cap hit next year, that's the weekly salary that Le'Veon Bell is passing up every week in his holdout. Sorry, Le'Veon, your holdout means that you will no longer be a Steeler in the long term, in all likelihood. Again, if James Conner continues the level of play. What you have done, Le'Veon, with your holdout is to guarantee yourself that you will not be a Steeler by giving James Conner this opportunity. And congrats to Conner for taking this and running with it. You know, one of the funnest things to me over the past 2 weeks has been to watch the national media have this conversation about what happens when Le'Veon comes back. Does he become the starter right away? And everyone is out there debating this. It's a debate between Le'Veon Bell, one of the two or three best running backs in the league right now, or was last year, versus James Conner, a nobody coming into this season, an absolute nobody coming into the season, a third-round pick who saw the field exactly none last year and then got a knee injury and had to come back and rehab it all offseason. And now the question is, are they starting Conner? Are they starting Le'Veon? I love it. But for Le'Veon Bell, this whole, I don't want to be traded. I mean, Le'Veon, you ain't coming back to the Steelers, dog. This is your last year as a Steeler, and you did this to yourself. So it's an interesting one. Now, James Conner did talk to the guys over at GetUp on ESPN. Here's what James Conner had to say.
He had a supportive tweet of some things that you've done, so that was public. But privately, he's been in contact as well. What conversations have you been having with him as this season has gone on?
No long conversations, but just let me know I'm doing the right things. Let me know I'm doing well, you know, after big plays and stuff. You seen the tweet and everything, and I got texts from him, so... No, things are good between us.
Look, I mean, people try to keep things in-house in the locker room, and you don't want to let a lot of things out there. And because really, it does no good for you guys, although it does a lot of good for us, gives us a lot of stuff to talk about. But really, internally, as much as you can tell us, what is it? What's the feeling towards Le'Veon in the locker room? Because, you know, early in the season, you know, I myself, and we talked a lot about it on this show, that it seemed like some people were annoyed with him with how he was approaching his contract situation. But in the event when he does come back, how do you think the team will receive him?
I'm not sure. I can't speak for nobody else, you know, but I know me and his relationship is good. I'm thankful I'm playing. You know, I don't know how other guys will take it, but like I said, I can't speak for them. But, you know, it's going to be all cool when he gets back with me.
Right.
You know, it's just the situation we're in. So I'm not sure, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, Ben said very publicly that you should continue to have a role even when Le'Veon comes back. What do you expect your role to be when he does return?
I'm just ready to control everything I can control. You know, I still want to play. Obviously, when he comes back, we know what Le'Veon brings to the table. But we also see what I bring to the table, too. So, man, my job is just to stay ready, be available, stay healthy. And when they call 30 to get in the game, just do what I do best.
Quickly, do you know when he's coming back? Does your team know when he's coming back?
Not a clue.
Okay.
I love Connor's attitude going through this whole thing. Again, an awkward situation for him. Again, you know, he's having this breakout year, but it is in the shadow of Le'Veon Bell right now. I do like the idea that there isn't any real animosity between the two guys, and hopefully when Le'Veon does come back, and again, he will show up at some point this season, according to what he told Jeremy Fowler, and whether or not that's this week or next week after the trade deadline, regardless, he's coming back, and I just hope that when he does come back, it doesn't kind of spark all the negativity that happened after the initial holdout, and with guys feeling like they had to go public, and that, again, I don't imagine that it's all going to be, rainbows and sunshine in the Steeler locker room when he comes back, but keep that stuff internally as much as the Steelers can. Work that out internally, and again, get back to winning football, because again, the Steelers have huge, huge games coming up, as we'll talk about this week, and it starts this week against the Cleveland Browns. So love Connor's attitude there. Again, I like the idea that there isn't this animosity between those two, and hopefully the animosity in the rest of the locker room can be kept to a minimum. And then finally today, let's talk about this Sunday of NFL football, a fantastic day of football for the Steelers. Look, going into the day, it was certainly a possibility that it would turn out this way, right? I mean, the Ravens were going up against the Saints, a very high-powered offensive team. Now, that game was going to be in Baltimore, so likely it was going to be a close one. Again, Baltimore's defense, the best in the league right now. The Saints offense, again, amongst the best in the league right now. But, in Baltimore, you felt like the Saints had a chance to win that football game, but it was by no means a guarantee. And then the Bengals going on the road in Sunday night against the Chiefs. I mean, that one, barring a miracle, the Bengals were losing that football game. I think it was the way that they lost that game that was even more surprising. In fact, I would argue that it wasn't just the fact that the Ravens and Bengals lost, right? I mean, the Browns lost too, but the Browns are the Browns. It's not just the fact the Ravens and Bengals lost. That was fun enough, but it was the way. It was the way that they lost. I mean, for the Ravens to lose on a missed extra point by Justin Tucker. Look, Justin Tucker is one of the most hated Ravens by Steeler fans for very good reason, right? It's because they hate him because they respect him so much as a kicker. The man never misses. And I don't mean that hyperbolically. Like, he never misses. I mean, the guy just never, his missed field goals are blocked. That's when he misses. He's never missed an extra point in his entire career. And the other thing about Tucker is, as a kicker, he knows he's good. And so he celebrates it. He shows it off, right? I mean, he's a kicker who is not afraid to get out there and taunt a little bit show teams up and that kind of thing. And so, again, as a Steeler fan sitting there on Sunday, watching that game play out, and you have to admit, the Ravens in that football game looked like a legitimate contender type team. And their defense certainly slowed the Saints down or made the Saints earn every bit of it that they got. And they certainly look like a team that's going to be around in this division and in this conference at the end there. They certainly look like they could be a playoff caliber team. And so you watch that game, and again, the Ravens are ahead for a large part of it, and it's kind of back and forth, and the Saints eventually take a late lead in that game. But here comes Flacco, and here comes the Ravens at the end. They drive down with such ease. And again, there's no defense in the NFL. The modern NFL has zero good defense. I mean, the Ravens are right there. I mean, they're really the only good defense. You watch the Bears, who are supposedly the other good defense in the NFL. You watch them give up, whatever they gave up, 38 to the Patriots. I mean, spare me that's a good defense. That was a home game for the Bears, and they were so soft in that football game. There's no defense in the NFL. The Ravens may have the only good one, but the Saints defense certainly is terrible. And the Ravens were able to go right down and score. And of course, as a Steeler fan, you're thinking, here we go again. Flacco in overtime. They're going to get some stupid PI call. They're going to kick a late field goal. They're going to win this football game, right? I mean, the Saints had this one. How did they give this up? And then the impossible happens. The actual impossible happens. And again, it's not just the fact that the Ravens lost. It's how. Watching Justin Tucker miss an extra point and miss it the way that he missed it. It starts right down the center like every other Justin Tucker kick does, except this one, for whatever reason, just hooks. Woo! I mean, it just goes sailing right out there. And the look on Justin Tucker's face, the wide-eyed, deer in headlights, did that just happen? Is the same look that Steeler fans around the world are having, which is, did I just watch Justin Tucker, of all people, miss a game winner? Is this really happening right now? Are the Ravens 4-3 because Justin Tucker missed an extra point? Pinch me. Am I dreaming? I mean, as a Steeler fan, personally, if I could bottle that moment up and live in it, that's where I would spend the rest of my life, is in that moment of watching Justin Tucker miss that kick. It's so surreal. It was a surreal moment, and the perfect way to watch the Ravens lose that football game. Again, I have a lot of respect for the Ravens. I think the Ravens are actually a legitimate contender in the AFC North. I think they proved that in that game against the Saints. But man, what a great way to watch the Ravens lose that one. And then fast forward a couple hours later to watching the Bengals and the Chiefs. And boy, I mean, look, we knew the Chiefs were very good, as we saw firsthand in Heinz Field. But my goodness, did they take it to the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals got boom roasted on Sunday night, and it wasn't close. Look, the Bengals never play well on Sunday night, but they're a pretender with a capital P. And I know the Steelers played them tough. They played the Steelers tough a week ago, and you know, you look back at that game now and you go, okay, well, you know, the Steelers played the Bengals tough, and then the Chiefs just absolutely killed them. But look, you know, the Bengals came into that game against the Steelers. They were flying high. They were 4-1. They felt like this is all, you know, we're putting the final nail in the coffin of this team, the Steelers, right? They're coming to our town. You know, we're top of the division right now. We're not relenting, yada, yada, right? We're getting our revenge, you know, all that. And then the Steelers, I mean, look, the Steelers went out there. The Steelers didn't play bad, right? I mean, they went out there, as I said in the film review, they should have won that game by more. And they went out there, they were the more physical team. They really took it to the Bengals. The Steelers had some moments at the end of the first half, the end of the second half, that they would like to have back. But largely, that was a game dictated by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so, yeah, look, Joe from Steeler Country, my old co-host on Steeler Country, used to have this saying about playing the Browns in week 1. You don't want to play the Browns in week 1 because they don't know they suck yet, right? The Browns just don't know they suck, and so you don't want to play them in week 1 because they still have this confidence. And so they're a dangerous team. The same can be said for last week against the Bengals, right? The Bengals going into that football game, they didn't know that they were a pretender, right? They thought they were an actual contender. They thought, hey, we're coming in here. You know, we're ready to take it on to the Steelers, right? We're ready to renew this rivalry after getting swept. And they had to find out from the Steelers, hey, you know what? Actually, we're still the Steelers and you're still little brother. And now going into this game against the Chiefs, whoo boy, I mean, they are a pretender. I think from here, the Ravens will become one of the class of the North along with the Steelers. And again, that game in 2 weeks will really determine a lot. For the Bengals, on the other hand, I mean, this feels like it starts, you know, the precipitous slide to a inevitable 7-9 type of season that we've seen from that Bengal team over and over and over again. That really is going to test the locker room and the mental fortitude of that Bengal team to come back from back-to-back losses like that. I don't know what their schedule is coming up. I mean, again, if it's a difficult schedule, they have the Bucs this week, and then Saints and Ravens. Yeah, I mean, again, it's going to be very tough for them, I think, to kind of rebound from that, get back to winning, get back to that confidence level they had going into that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But again, a great Sunday for the Steelers. A great, great Sunday. Watching Baltimore lose, watching Cincinnati lose, it's perfect for where the Steelers are right now. As I talked about, the Steelers go into the bye week with 2 big wins, righting the ship. The best thing you can say about the Steelers right now is that they look like the Steelers. They are running the ball well. Their offensive line is playing terrifically. They're spreading the ball around to all their playmakers offensively. And defensively, while they're not where we need them to be, no defense in the NFL is. And so the Steelers, at least in the last couple weeks, have shown some signs defensively that they can get off the field on third down. Yes, they gave up touchdowns to big moments. They still have to improve defensively. But right now, again, you can't point to a great team in the NFL right now, one of the contenders in the NFL right now, and say, well, they have a great defense. Outside of maybe the Rams, every other team in this league has a fatal flaw, and that fatal flaw is their defense. The Steelers are right amongst them. Huge game coming up this week for the Steelers against the Browns, and then again, a gigantic game the following week against the Ravens. I am so looking forward to that game 2 weeks from now, but the Steelers have to get by the Browns, first of all. So we're going to break that down the rest of the week. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.